Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening and being part of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. If you haven't listened to this broadcast in the past few weeks, you know we call it From the Eastern Files. The program is dedicated to memories and stories of former Eastern people and news from the new Eastern Airlines as it comes to us. These broadcasts will usually be only about 1/2 hour in duration and broadcast in the 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time slot. We may even throw in a music selection or two. The program is not on a talk radio format, and that means that we won't take calls. It's reserved only for Eastern stories, history, and news. We will continue to broadcast our normal talk radio call-in live show on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We hope you like this new addition to the Eastern Airlines radio show. And now let's listen to an Eastern Airlines commercial.
It's Sunday in Mexico. The sun floods an arena. The historic duel is on. The sun spotlights a diver at Acapulco. Referee the children's game at the pyramids of Teotihuacan. The sun warms a beautiful mermaid in Puerto Rico and covers the vacation paradise of Miami. Every year, more people choose this one to the sun because Eastern service is as warm as the destination.
Well, folks, it's great to be with you again today, and we'll take three stories from the best of repartee, stories of heroes, triumphs, and tragedies. And our first story is titled The Pilot Who Soloed Lindbergh. It was written by the late Captain Bill Malone. Now, let's listen to the story. World War I had finally come to an end. Everyone fortunate enough to survive was back, and the government was busy disposing of its surplus of equipment left over from the war. In the summer of 1924, at Southerfield in Americus, Georgia, Archie Cummer, was assembling brand new Flying Jennies, which had never been removed from their crates. These were planes which would have been used for training of the World War I pilots. They were for sale to prospective purchasers after the planes had first been tested and the buyer had demonstrated his ability to handle it in the air. Late one afternoon, a young man appeared in a Boy Scout uniform, looking about for a cheap plane in which to test his doubtful prowess as an aviator. He told Archie that he had been flying for some time and that he was looking for a plane in which to take his test for a pilot's license. Archie advised him that he could furnish the airplane easily enough, but that he would have to pay or put up a $500 deposit before they could let him fly it. The young man didn't seem to fancy the idea of risking his money on the flight, so he looked over the supply of planes, picked one out, and asked how much would it cost to buy the plane outright. The purchase price tallied exactly with the amount necessary for a deposit. The young man reached into his pocket, pulled out $500, and announced it sold. For several days, Archie Cummer and his unknown pupil taxied back and forth across the field, hopped off into the clouds, and glided safely back again to the hangar. Little was said between the two of them. They were both extremely modest and reticent individuals. After two or three tests, Archie told him he could try a solo flight over the field. He did so, believing that he was telling the truth about the former experience. It was not until long afterwards that Archie learned he had never before flown alone, and that his knowledge of aviation consisted almost entirely of groundwork, which he had received at Robinson Field in St. Louis. The young man showed no particular elation of the fact that he had won permission to solo. He told Archie it had become too late in the afternoon, and he preferred to wait until the following day. At 7 o'clock the next morning, Archie arrived at the field, only to discover that the young man had been up for more than an hour, and that instead of circling the field and landing, he had departed Americus, never to return. The young man in the Boy Scout uniform was Charles Lindbergh. Archie Cummer had soloed the Lone Eagle. Archie Cummer, a native of Athens, Georgia, began flying when he was just 15. He was first with the Army Air Corps and later became a commercial mechanic in Americus. With the San W. Airplane Company, he ferried planes to buyers in other parts of the country. Once on a trip to Michigan, Archie found the buyer to be out of town for a week. When he finally ran out of funds, he took his 25 cents and purchased a loaf of bread and a bottle of syrup. He made a syrup sandwich by scooping out the inside of the bread and pouring in the syrup. By the time he got hungry again, Western Union had money for him. Archie continued, his aviation career with Pitcairn Aviation as a mechanic during the week and airmail pilot on weekends. Eastern Air Transport lost its most eligible bachelor when Archie Cummer saw a picture in the rotogravure section of the Sunday paper of a comely young lady dressed in a snappy hunting outfit, resting between shots in the quail field, holding on a leash three fine English setters. They later met in a restaurant in Hayfield, Georgia, and were married in Miami with Fred and Billy Kahn as attendants. Archie Cummer was a man of considerable skill, which encompassed much more than flying. He was a crack shot and won the Florida 20-gauge skeet championship for three straight years. He was an avid tennis player and taught his wife, Sarah, to be a champion. She continued for 48 years. He constructed four tennis courts and three barns. As a pilot, Archie Cummer was top of the line. My grandson would have characterized him as cool, and it was with a cool head that Archie Cummer reacted to the situation that took place over Nashville, Tennessee, in a Lockheed Electra. The stewardess came forward to the cockpit and advised Archie that the floor in the aisle was caving in. Immediately, the electrical buses began to transfer back and forth, and all electrical power was lost. This was a catastrophic of major proportion because nearly everything in the Electra was operated by electricity. What happened was a large copper strap had come loose from one of the main electrical buses and fallen down across two other main buses, creating an arc, shorting out the whole electrical system. The heat generated by the arc had melted the floor above the electrical service center on the airplane. The weather was not good, and Archie Cummer had to land the plane without instruments, which he did in record time, averting a fire. It was probably one of the finest pieces of flying ever done in the history of aviation, and so recognized by all of us who are familiar with the Electra. There are many things that are unique about Eastern Airlines. The basic instrument grouping on the aircraft instrument panel came about as a result of input from the pilots. Czech pilots were chosen for their ability and experience. They went back periodic to fly the line so as not to lose touch. Archie Cummer was a Czech pilot in Atlanta, and he was an inspiration for all of us who were privileged to fly with him. It would have been unthinkable to give Archie anything less than your finest effort, no matter if you were being line checked or serving as his co-pilot. Probably those of us who came to Eastern Airlines from the military after World War II appreciated him most because we were his co-pilots and spent the most time with him. He was a champion in every single thing he did. He was a pilot, after all, who soloed Charles Lindbergh. That's our first story. And let's see, we have another one that we'd like to give you at this time. I think you'll enjoy this. It's more of a humorous writing that was in the same book, The Best of Repartee. And it is titled, as a matter of fact, we don't know the author of this, but it was submitted and it was printed in the book. Its title is Instrument Flight is for the Birds, or How to Duck the High Cost of Instruments. And the story. Basic rules for the cat and duck method of flight under the hood are fairly known and are, of course, extremely simple. 1. Place a live cat on the cockpit floor. Because a cat always remains upright, he or she can be used in lieu of a needle and ball. Merely watch to see which way the cat leans to determine if a wing is low, and if so, which one. Now, 2, the duck is used for the instrument approach and landing because of the fact that any sensible duck will refuse to fly under instrument conditions. It is only necessary to hurl your duck out of the plane and follow her to the ground. There are some limitations to the cat and duck method, however, but by rigidly adhering to the following checklist, a degree of success will be achieved, which will surely startle you, your passengers, and maybe even as an itinerant tower operator. Here's the checklist for the cat and duck method of instrument flying. 1. Get a wide awake cat. Most cats do not want to stand up all the time. It may be necessary to get a large, fierce dog to carry in the cockpit to keep the cat at attention. 2. Make sure your cat is clean. Dirty cats will spend all their time washing. Trying to follow a washing cat usually results in a tight snap roll, followed by an inverted spin, a flat spin. You can see this is very unsanitary. 3. Old cats are best. Young cats have 9 lives, but an old, used-up cat with only one life left has just as much to lose as you do and will be most dependable. Number 4, avoid stray cats. Try to get one with a good pedigree. Your veterinarian can help you here. Locate a cat with a good character or try any good breeding farm. Or if you're in the city, try a reputable cat house. Number 5, beware of cowardly ducks. If the duck discovers that you are using the cat to stay upright, she will refuse to leave without the cat. Ducks are no better on instruments than you are. 6, be sure the duck has good eyesight. Nearsighted ducks sometimes fail to realize they are on the gauges and will go flogging off into the nearest hill. Very nearsighted ducks will not realize they have been thrown out and will descend to the ground in a sitting position. This maneuver is quite difficult to follow in an airplane. Number 7, use land-loving ducks. It is very discouraging to break out and find yourself on final for a rice paddy, particularly if there are duck hunters around. Duck hunters suffer from temporary insanity when they are sitting in freezing weather in their blinds and will shoot at almost about anything that flies. And finally, number 8, choose your duck carefully. Many water birds look very much alike, and if you're not careful, you may get confused between ducks and geese. Geese are very competitive instrument flyers, but are very seldom interested in going the way you want to go. If your duck heads off to Canada or Mexico, then you may be sure you have been given a goose. And again, this article is anonymous, the author. And one more little short one here. And I think you might enjoy this. This was in the 1975 issue of the magazine known as Repartee, the magazine of the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. And again, this is written and submitted anonymously. The title is Why I Want to Be an Airline Pilot. I want to be an airline pilot when I grow up because it's a fun job and easy to do. That's why there are so many pilots flying around today. Pilots don't need much school. They just have to learn to read numbers so they can read instruments. I guess they should be able to read road maps so they can find their way if they get lost. Pilots should be brave so they won't be scared if it's foggy and they can't see, or if a wing or motor falls off. They should stay calm. Pilots have to have good eyes to see through clouds. And they can't be afraid of lightning and thunder because they're closer to them than we are. Finally, the salary pilots make is another thing I like. They make more money than they can spend. This is because most people think plane flying is dangerous, except pilots don't because they know how easy it is. There isn't much I don't like except that girls like pilots. And all the stewardesses want to marry pilots, so they always have to chase them away so they don't bother them. I hope I don't get airsick because I get car sick. And if I get airsick, I couldn't be a pilot. And then I'd have to go to work. This story was by an unknown pre-teenager. Sounds like about, what, the 6th or 7th grade, I guess. But an interesting story. And finally, there are a few service bulletins that Eastern put out for the flight crews. And they were incorporated. They were called Operations Department Service Bulletins. And this one was Service Bulletin number 26 that was given October 15th, 1931. And the bulletin reads, baggage responsibility of. On ships carrying co-pilots, the co-pilot will be held responsible for the checking of all baggage on and off the planes. The backup form EAT number 27 will be used temporarily. On ships not carrying co-pilots, the pilot will check the passenger's baggage on and off and make a report on the back of form EAT number 27. They will also inquire, or prior to the time the ship leaves, if a passenger has all his baggage and has it properly tagged. This bulletin was given by C.H. Dolan, the operations manager of Eastern in 1931. Another bulletin reads October 15th, 1931 also. Pilot expenses. Due to misunderstanding regarding pilots' expenses while away from their home, the company in the very near future is engaging hotel rooms at various stops and on and after a certain date, at which time the interested pilots will be notified their expense advance will be discontinued. This is not being done to work a hardship on the pilots, but it is a measure of economy on the part of the company. Your corporation is urgently requested in seeing that these rooms are maintained in first-class condition. Any claims put in by the hotels for breakage or losses will be assessed equally among the pilots using these facilities, unless the party responsible assumes this responsibility in writing. You are expected to conduct yourself as gentlemen at all times and be a credit to the company. So please endeavor to treat these rooms as you would your own home. Again, by C.H. Dolan, operations manager. Another one is called Operations Bulletin Number 52, January 1932. Subject, blind flying between Washington and Newark. There will be no blind flying in condors between Washington and Newark due to heavy traffic in this area until such time as our radio and communication system has reached a higher state of reliability. Over-the-top flying is all right with a good radio and clear fields ahead. C.H. Dolan, operations manager. Bulletin number 53 reads, subject, seatbelts, pilots and co-pilots. It reads, all pilots and co-pilots will wear their seatbelts at all times when flying ships. And finally, bulletin number 54 reads, passenger pilots are getting lax once again in their methods of leaving and approaching fields. We have continually warned pilots about S-ing and sideslipping and banking at 45 degrees and 90 degrees on their turns and rushing into a field and then remaining on the field for 15 minutes because they are ahead of schedule. This is a lack of thought and must be corrected. C.H. Dolan, operations manager. Well, folks, that was some fun reading, especially without glasses. Had a difficult time there, but great stories submitted by the people of Eastern Airlines. We hope you enjoyed these, and you'll be back with us again next Thursday for another series of stories, short stories, from the Eastern Files. We hope you enjoy these great Eastern stories selected from the Eastern Files. If you would like to contribute a story from your Eastern days and in your own voice or to be read on the broadcast, please give us an email and we will show you how simple it is to tell your story on from the Eastern Files at ealradioshow.com. We want you to be part of the radio show. And once again, the song that will take us out of here. As a matter of fact, we'll try to board a jet plane and see if we can sign off with the beautiful song rendered by John Denver.
All my bags are packed, I ready to go. I'm standing here outside.
Until next
door.
Week and another broadcast from the Eastern Files, we say, so long,
goodbye.
Eastern family. We love you, Eastern.
But the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come. Leave you one more time. Let me kiss you, then close your eyes, and I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to stay. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. I hate to go.